Live from the launching pad in Sedona, Arizona, this is the Progressive Technology Hour, and I'm your host, Dr. Houdini. I would like to welcome you to a truly unique talk show program that focuses on exotic technologies. What are exotic technologies? Well, this includes such areas as free energy, gravity, anti-gravity control, the study of the nature of time and time travel. We'll explore not only the technology, but also the how-to part of the technology. So let's have some fun today and explore the world of exotic technologies. Folks, my special guest today is exotic technology inventor of GEAT technology, Paul Pantone. The GEAT fuel processor, which stands for Global Environmental Energy Technology, is a self-inducing plasma generator. During tests since 1983, the amount of carbon found coming from the GEAT reactor chamber was always lower. A transmutation of elements occurs inside the chamber, and in some cases there is a complete absence of carbon, which creates an abundance of O2 of about 23.4%. Oxygen has also been found in the final exhaust while using crude oil as the main fuel. Because the GEAT fuel is so perfect of a burn and blends better than conventional fuels, it will ignite from the center of the piston and move outward, causing much less wear and vibration to any engine. Many believe that the field around a reactor rod, after its use, was truly a magnetic one, but related to a human aura. This being the case, further testing is being conducted at various locations around the world. You may use glass, aluminum, or steel for the rod, and you still have this auric effect. There are 190 phenomena attributed to the GEAT process. So, Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. That's a great start.
Oh, this, you know, you have an incredible technology here. And I was wondering if you can go into a little bit of detail, you know, what is this GEAT technology?
Well, years ago in the 70s, I started working on engines trying to get better mileage. And in 1983, I finally made the GEAT discovery, which is a fuel delivery system where it breaks down atomically the particles going to the engine before they ever get there using exhaust heat to make a whole new fuel. And this plasma fuel that goes to the engine runs the engine cooler, we get 10 times life out of the engine, and we end up with clean air coming out the tailpipe.
Mm-hmm. And also the, now this clean air coming out of the tailpipe, the emissions, that's a pretty much of a big thing today here, you know, because we, the traffic out here is horrendous, you know, especially in these big cities. And carbon monoxide, you know, all these emissions is a pretty big deal. Now, what kind of emissions have you beginning from this technology?
Well, in California, at a smog station, which is certified about a mile from the Capitol, we ran the engine. We invited people to come down. We had it hooked up to their analyzer. We were getting 21 to 23% oxygen coming out the tailpipe, which is more than you'll find in the atmosphere. We have zero carbon monoxide, zero carbon dioxide, and we were getting fantastic runs with zero hydrocarbon. There were a couple of times where we'd see one part per million to three parts per million on the hydrocarbon, and we could, or on the, yeah, on the hydrocarbon. We couldn't figure out why until the test was over and we pulled that analyzer probe out of the exhaust pipe, and we found out that the air in the room that we were using to combust, it had 3 to 7 parts per million hydrocarbon in the air. So we were actually cleaning up the air.
Wow.
Whoa.
That's so exciting.
The problem was, going all the way back to 1983, and everybody says, how come this isn't on my car? Well, real easy. Government doesn't want it. They want to reduce emissions, but only if it doesn't give them better mileage. When you start talking about getting 50% or double the mileage or higher than that, you have red flags. You cannot get money. You cannot get grant money.
They want to do us in, is the bottom line.
They want what's in your wallet.
Mm-hmm.
And they want, and they don't want you living very long at all. They don't want you living past about. They don't. That's the reason for most doctors. That's so funny. They don't only want you living to about 65 years old. They've already reduced the age of males' life expectancy in Russia to about 50, 55.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that people say all the time to me, or used to, is, well, have you tried Greenpeace, Sierra Club, Wilderness Club? Yeah, we tried them all, and they all have the same attitude. We want donations, not solutions.
Yes.
Solutions put us out of business.
Right.
So the next most popular thing was, well, if it really worked, the car companies would jump on this in a heartbeat. Well, when we toured the United States, we went to most of the states, and the problem we hit was, yeah, they wanted to see it, but they didn't want to see it at the Ford shop and the GM shop and the Chrysler shop. They wanted us to meet them down the street, meet us at a buddy's place.
Oh, sure.
We can't have that on our property.
Right.
Why? Well, if it increases the mileage, we're in trouble. We can only decrease pollution by a little bit. We kept hitting this. Coast to coast, many other countries.
It's amazing to see how corrupt everything is in our society right now. How upside down and backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. If you went on the internet, I did a couple of weeks ago, and I looked up videos.es, and then I typed in, where it says search, I typed in Pantone and Gee, and there's about 460 to 480 different YouTube videos from all over Europe on what I have. People from all over Europe are building it. We have our school now open. It opened last weekend.
Wow.
In the Netherlands.
That's so exciting.
School in Australia, hopefully here in the next 30 days. It should have opened already, but we've had a few technical difficulties. But we are opening worldwide this year. We are hoping to be in at least 10 or 12 countries, because the other countries, the people want better mileage. It'd be great if they can reduce the emissions, but the main thing right now is mileage.
Right.
These people are paying a lot more for gas than we are. We've had people call up and say in Africa, some places, they're paying $19 a gallon.
Whoa. $19 a gallon. Oh, my God.
In a country that's rich in oil.
Yeah, go figure that one out. Mm-hmm. But they don't want to reduce those prices in those countries because there's too many politicians getting their hands on road tax money and other monies.
Right.
It's more than that. It's that they don't want to empower these people. They must keep them downtrodden. They don't want them rising up.
Well, you know, there's empowerment. There's empowerment going on, but it's with the public officials.
Yes. Yes, there is.
Mm.
The only way we've been able to survive has been my school, which I did shut down for a while. It's reopened again. As a matter of fact, Monday, 2 days from now, we're going to be having classes again here in Duncan, Oklahoma. And then a month later, we're going to be doing it again. And we're only teaching the people who are using it on their own personal use equipment or for dealers who want to come in, sign up, come through the entire school so they know how to put it on furnaces, boilers, cars, trucks, everything. And then they can start selling the products that we're going to make available to other dealers, generators, riding lawnmowers, farm equipment, construction equipment. We're going to try not to offend the political beings that say they don't want it on cars.
Mm-hmm. Now, Paul, could you go into a little bit of detail about this course you're offering?
And what
on my website.
And where, when, when is this happening?
Well, this Monday class starts. It's a week long.
Mm-hmm.
It's $2,500 if you're just coming to class for your own personal use. There is a license fee, which is worked out with the person depending on what they want to market or manufacture, and they have to tell us what they want to manufacture, where do they want to work. Some people coming in here for training are going back to India, they're going to Italy, they're going to Russia, they're going all over the world to open up locations in those countries. So we have different pricing for different countries.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Now, tell us what the Geek technology is. You started to tell us, but we got off on some tangent. Tell us exactly what it is for those of us who need an education.
If you can vaporize, let's start out with just gasoline. If you vaporize gasoline, and then feed it to the center of the exhaust pipe in the opposite direction of the exhaust, you get all of the exhaust heat being pulled in electrically into the new fuel. It expands it because of the heat in the opposite direction, and it expands it to the point that it pulls electrons from as far as 60 feet away. While doing this, it makes a completely new fuel in a plasma field that now has zero pollution. So it's just a new way of delivering.
When you say it expands it, how does it expand it?
Well, if you put water in a vacuum, it can boil at room temperature. If you put gasoline in a vacuum, it can boil at room temperature. So if you create enough vacuum, you will expand it so that it can be 100 times its normal size.
Can you explain the theory of a vacuum? Exactly what you're talking about when you say put it in a vacuum. You mean encapsulate it?
No. As the engine has a pulling stroke to pull fuel into the engine, instead of allowing it to pull just fresh air through a large opening like you'd see on a big 350 Chevy, we reduce that opening down to about the size of a cigarette filter, a little tiny hole. We pull all of the fuel and air through the exhaust pipe. Pulling all of the heat out of the exhaust. By expanding it that many times, the final exhaust temperature is usually ambient air temperature or cooler. We had a gentleman the other day call me up, and he said, the exhaust coming out of his engine is only 60 degrees. And he said, on a 70-degree day, how do you explain that? I said, well, it's drawing heat from the atmosphere as well into making the new fuel.
How much would it cost for a person to convert their car?
If you have a shop and you have basic tools in there, a drill, a sander, you have some basic welding, just welding rod, real simple stuff, or if you have to hire that out, it might be $10 or $15. But I've seen some people do it for as little as $50 to $100. Others have spent thousands trying to make it look pretty. How pretty do you want it to look?
Why, how horrible looking is it? What are we talking about? What does it look like?
If you go to geet.nl.
Okay.
Type in geet.nl.
Pull that up for me if you can, Bill.
And then and then look at the free plans for small engines. You can go to any hardware store, plumbing shop, and pick up all the parts you need to build your first one for free.
Oh, my goodness.
And once you see that you can just go in there and buy a couple of pieces of half-inch pipe, a couple of bolts, a couple of washers, a couple of plumbing fittings, and have a couple of them glued together or spot welded together, screwed onto your engine, and for under $100, you can convert your lawnmower to run on a multiple of fuels. One of the gentlemen calling in from Reno the other day was running his engine on pickle juice and Gatorade. About 10 to 20% gas.
Gatorade?
Yeah.
Now,
the common answer to that from the public has always been, well, Gatorade and soda pop cost so much. Well, that's right. We're only trying to explain it doesn't have to be gasoline.
Can it be water?
Yeah. We've got a lot of people run on 80% water.
And what's the other 20% have to be?
Gas, diesel, kerosene, crude oil, whatever's handy.
Okay. Now, you're saying to convert your car over. Is there any close-ups you can show me about what this looks like more, Bill? So,
Well, we're at your website here.
Okay,
and
go to the right there,
out
Bill,
there,
so I can see what that looks like.
Listeners can go to Geet. Just Google Geet International Institute.
No, geetinternational.com.
Oh, Geet International. Yeah, that's right. Yes, yes, it takes you right there.
And if you go down the right side of the page, there'll be a whole bunch of pictures over
here. All right, over here, Bill. I'm trying to get to.
Okay.
Okay, click on these images one by one so I can see them close up.
Okay, yes, we're at your download section here. Okay, I clicked on that picture.
Okay.
During the last month on rainy days, I've sat and pulled up a lot of YouTube. Every time I go on, there are so many more that I haven't seen. And I've probably seen 400, 500 hours of videos of what people have built all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Now, what am I looking at? I'm trying to decipher what I'm seeing here on your automotive technology. Can you increase that window for me, Bill, so I can see the pictures better?
Okay, that's as big as I can make it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what am I seeing here as I look at these galley of tubes, it looks like, and...
That's it. It's a bunch of tubes and pieces of pipe and rods mm-hmm. that you just have to hook together in the right pattern, which is what we teach in the school, is how to retrofit for a furnace, a boiler, a car engine, a diesel engine. We teach people how to do this to their own equipment. Or, if you want to be a dealer, how you can go out to your neighborhood farm and say, yes, I can retrofit that. You should get about double the mileage, and it's going to cost about $1,500, $1,800. And then the person will retrofit that piece of equipment.
Now, Paul, you know, a key component of this, of your system, is this rod. Right.
Is yes.
Now are you using a steel? Are you using a steel rod? In this current?
Well, on the free plans, what we gave away at that time were the plans that we had been using prior to some new discoveries. And at that time, we told everybody it had to be steel,
mm-hmm.
because at that time we did believe it had to be steel.
Okay.
There are a lot of new discoveries. Back then, we only had, I think, 37 discoveries.
Uh-huh.
We're close to 190 now, and at 190 discoveries, there's a lot of things missing from those plans.
Okay.
But those plans will allow you to build one just like I did 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about using a carbon graphite rod?
I haven't tried a carbon graphite.
Okay. Okay, because I did some research with carbon graphite. And I observed excess energy, okay, with my carbon arc experiments.
Mm-hmm.
And the listener out there can go to my website at intellect.com and check out some of those experiments with carbon arcs. And I use this graphite material. And, you know, these rods can be purchased. I think the graphitestore.com, you know, sells these rods.
We have tried titanium, which mm-hmm. were extremely expensive. We've tried every other kind of metal and brass, copper, aluminum. We've tried everything. And I think the most fun is when you do it with a glass rod or an aluminum rod, and then you take it out of the engine after running it for 35 minutes, and it has an aura. And when you hand someone that rod in a compass, and they see it has a north and a south, north is up, south is down. When you turn the rod upside down, north is still up, and south is still down. No matter how many times you flip that rod over, that magnetic field flips over just like the human body.
Now, wow.
Now that is extraordinary. Magnetizing a glass rod?
So when are you going to start selling these rods for everybody? How long does it hold the charge?
Well, the charges so far on some of the rods have been held for as far as 15 years.
Wow. Why don't you start selling the rods so we can all get a buzz?
That'll be very popular.
Just do that.
Very
right
popular
now,
in the new age
son,
community.
David. My son David just got back from Australia teaching them.
All right, I'm going to see.
The school.
I'm going to see you at the next Tesla Tech conference, and I want you to have a table full of these rods and get me one. Give one to me.
We can do that.
We mm-hmm. got to have a rod.
Yeah,
those
I guarantee
hot.
You, Paul, that's going to be very popular.
Oh my God!
The
here
community.
In Sedona, I want to be your Sedona distributor.
The Sedona rod.
For sure. This is hot.
Yes.
This is so hot.
A lot of the same principles as the pyramids in Egypt.
Aurora, that's better than a wand.
I'm sorry?
Bell's just telling me it's better than this wand. My girlfriend was demonstrating this wand the other day. It's packed with quartz crystal, and it really does take away a lot of pain out of your body, and it's supposed to restore the cells of your body to their original integrity.
How much does that wand sell for?
And that wand sells for $300.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
We need to bring some wands down with us.
Yeah, you need to send me some wands here to Sedona, and I'll take them over to the stores for you and open up some distributorships. some distributors here in Sedona and get it. We'll get it rocking here.
Yeah.
About 10 years ago, I handed one of the glass rods to a physicist who came to my booth and said, "This technology cannot work." And I said, "Really? Well, have a seat." And he sat down. I handed him a rod and a compass. And when I held it straight up and down, and I showed him there's north and south, I flipped it over and did the same thing. North was always up. I said, "Can you explain that?" 4.5 hours later, he got up to go to the bathroom, set it on the table. It rolled off and broke. But all I heard out of him for 4.5 hours was, "That's impossible."
That's fantastic.
He could not wrap his little brain around it.
Well, Bill and I are starting a company called Conscious Furniture, and your wand would be like the first item I'd like to carry.
Well, let's see how fast we can start getting wands out of here.
No kidding.
We're trying to get our house and our shop done so that we will have our official headquarters right here in Oklahoma.
That's what we're doing, too, here. We're setting up our headquarters here in Sedona right now. We know the feeling.
Well, I hope you're having better luck there than we are here with some of the legal system.
Oh, what's bogging you down?
Oh, the guy we were buying the property from. He waited until we have a lease purchase agreement.
Yes.
And he waited until we have the house all framed in and most of it sited. He came up and looked at it, and I've decided I'm not going to sell you my land. No. We have a contract. Well, I don't have to honor a contract. I can just cancel it. We're in the United States. It's covered under the Constitution. So the very next day, he shows up at the gate and chases my employees off at gunpoint.
Well, there you go. Somebody must have got to him.
Well, if that happened in any other state, you'd have been arrested for having a loaded gun on a public property.
Somebody must have got to the guy. I mean, what's he up to here? In this day and age, it seems odd that he'd want to turn you away as a viable customer here, running his property. Why? I think that he must have been paid a little visit. They probably mind opped him. They probably put the light on him like they do in the movies there. What's the name of that show where they dress up all in black, Men in Black. Okay, and they put the little light on their forehead, and they tell them what to think and tell them what they're going to say. And then afterwards the people walk away thinking that they know what just happened, but they don't. And that's like based on reality, actually, from some of the black ops I spoke to. So you never know who's...
I think what happened here was just greed.
Just greed?
He saw this big, beautiful 6,000-square-foot home and shop being built, and he decided he wanted it.
I see. Wow. Now, are you going to bother to press charges on this?
Well, we tried, and the cops wouldn't even give him a ticket. So we're taking it in front of the judge. We've already been there 3 times. The judge told him that he can't come on the property. He cannot threaten the employees. He cannot interfere with anything. Stay away.
Good.
And he's violated that court order about 14 times. So we're going back in front of the judge in 2 weeks. At that point, he can explain why he told my attorney and his attorney, "I don't have to do what the judge says."
Yeah, boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Well, Paul, we have about a minute left here.
So we want to thank you so much for being on the show today. We'd like to have you back, and you can tell us what progress you're making here.
Oh yes,
with things.
That is great. And if anybody is interested in the school or contacting me, they can do it by email at paul@geet.nl, or they can give me a call at 580-251-0651.
That's awesome. Well, we're sending you lots of good vibes. I know good things are coming your way, and these wands. We want the wands right away. This
That'll
can help fund our
Sedona
projects quite a bit over here. So if you can make them, and I'd love to be part of that. That sounds so exciting.
Well, let me see if I can get someone on that as quickly as possible.
Okay.
Email here in the next day or two.
Thanks a lot, Paul. And now who's next, William?
Okay, great. Thanks, Paul.
Okay, God bless. Bye-bye.
You too. Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Houdini, and you're listening to the Progressive Technology Hour. And I'm with my guest host today, Aurora Light.
Well, thank you for having me, Dr. Houdini. And it's always a pleasure.
Well, our next guest is Dr. Robert Koontz. He's my special guest today. He's a nuclear physicist and a scalar wave experimenter. Dr. Koontz is attempting to create technology that will allow the extraction of usable amounts of energy from the vacuum. This research follows the work of Nikola Tesla and Dr. Thomas Henry Murray. While working at Lawrence Berkeley Laboratory, Dr. Koontz headed up a team of 12 physicists which looked for evidence to support the existence of a class of particles referred to as anomalons. Dr. Koontz, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bill. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. Yes.
Great to be on your show again. I'm ready to go.
Okay, fantastic. And I'm with my host here, guest host, Aurora Light.
Hello.
Hello, Aurora.
Hello, Robert. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Well, Dr. Koontz, you just came back from a trip in Europe. What you been up to lately?
Well, lately I've been trying to get this fellow off at death row in Texas. I believe he's innocent, and I'm working on that. But in the physics domain, I have a friend who named Barry Bruce, Dr. Barry Bruce, an expert in general relativity. And he did a calculation using Einstein's general theory of relativity and has been able to show that Big Bang data probably is incorrectly interpreted in the sense that the redshift probably comes from gravitational redshift, not recessional redshift. And then I did a calculation using putting a dielectric constant in the universe and letting the speed of light change as a function of the dielectric constant. And I also come up with the idea that the redshift is due to the medium through which the light is traveling. Therefore, it could be that there was no Big Bang, that the universe isn't expanding,
mm-hmm.
and maybe it's the case that the universe is infinite and eternal.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a shocker to the mainstream physics community. Now, my friend, Dr. Bruce, has not been able to publish this because it's too hot to handle. It's too
mm-hmm.
controversial. And I don't know what's going to happen as far as the publication goes. He published a book on his own, but he, mainstream physicists don't want to hear this, I guess. Now, some might.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one thing I'm working on. And then, let's see, I'm working on following up with Einstein with the unified field theory. I don't believe in the string theory. I think it's a mathematical wonderland.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see anything coming out of it. They predicted the decay of the proton, as I understand it, and the proton appears to be stable, but there's no physics in it. You know, they talk about 11 dimensions, but my goodness, I don't know if that's necessary. I don't see any evidence for 11 dimensions. And why don't they calculate the masses of the particles, the up quark and the down quark and all that? They don't get that out of there. In Mike's unified field theory following Einstein, who had the right idea, I'm convinced, I can calculate the mass of the mass of the pion, the mass of the proton, the mass of the up quark, the mass of most of these particles. And so I'm working on a unified field theory of my own. It's a lot simpler than these string theories, which, I don't know what they even represent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so one other thing. Oh, yeah, global warming. I finally got around to looking at the
uh-huh.
global warming data. And I found that I couldn't find one error bar on any of the data, not one error bar. Now, on a physics experiment of this nature, you have to represent the uncertainties. I wouldn't let a high school physics major get away with this. This is really junk science. Now, I'm not, it doesn't, you know, the scientific representation of something doesn't mean it's the idea is wrong. But that they're trying to tell us they can measure the Earth's temperature down to half a degree, even under worst-case conditions, this so-called hockey puck upswing in the data from Phil Jones at East Anglia University. That only represents three-quarter of a degree swing, and you can't measure the Earth's temperature to a tenth of a degree or a half a degree or even a degree. This is, you know, they're adding and subtracting numbers that are maybe 10% accurate at best, and so you're not going to get a result that's better than 10% accuracy. But they claim that this accuracy, and there's no error bars. It's terrible. It's really terrible. And so I tell you, the evidence, there may be global warming, but the evidence does not support it from what I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the North Polar caps apparently are melting because their nuclear submarine data indicates that there's a maybe 40% reduction in the sea ice since 1959 when the Nautilus was first up there.
Mm-hmm.
But that could be due to salinity changes in the water. I'm not certain what's causing that, but as far as the representation of this guy, Phil Jones at East Anglia, Anglia University, East Anglia University, 57th in the country, in all of Europe, rather, ranked among universities. So I'd say the evidence, that's junk science. I'm not a right-wing conservative ideologue either. I'm telling you the facts. Mm-hmm. That is junk science.
Well, Dr. Kuntz, let me stop you right there. What do you think about the sunspot activity related to global warming? Do you think there's any correlation?
It could be. I'm just now looking at some of that information and data. There's a lot of sunspot activity, and there apparently is some sort of warming on other planets as well.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe on Mars. So I don't know. There could be some solar system warming due to sunspot activity or solar activity. I can't say, but I can say that from what I've seen of this global warming data, I wouldn't even call it science. It's so amateurish. It is, and they don't have error bars in their data, but they connect every point. You know, I have 100 points, and they get jiggle jaggles in the lines. No error, no representation of the uncertainty. And the fellow Phil Jones at East Anglia University he doesn't even have the records. He says they didn't keep good records. Something telling us we have to change the world's economy because of global warming, but he can't reproduce any of the records. No error bars, nothing. Terrible. It's a disgrace. And these scientists who talk about this, such as, Michio Kaku talks about how global warming is a reality. You know, he knows better. Dr. Kaku needs to look at the data and wake up. This is not science.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
So it could be that the universe isn't expanding. It could be there wasn't a Big Bang. Now, think about what that would mean. Suppose the universe is infinite and eternal. How many advanced civilizations are there? How advanced are they? There could be civilizations a trillion years more advanced than us, easily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it affects many things.
Well, you know, I think some of them are visiting the Earth here.
Oh, yeah.
And you've had a sighting.
I took photographs.
Mm-hmm.
I have three photographs of a disc-shaped object.
Why don't you email them to Vortex Network News? By the way, I just want to say...
They're on my website, drkuntz.com.
Oh, can we put them up on Vortex Network News?
But you can link to them, too. They're in big format.
All right, great. We just want to put a lead in. You know, Bob, you are on our debut of our new station here, VortexNetworkNews.com. Yeah, so we are so happy that our listeners have been so kind to us, letting us know they were looking forward to us being back up again. And we had about a 3 or 4 week hiatus, and here we are, thanks to Dr. Houdini.
Well, you've had some great shows, some very good shows. You know, I enjoyed that show with John Hutchison. And John, and very few people in this world understand that this is one of the greatest geniuses that's ever lived. Now, he's not a theorist. He doesn't do math, except he does calculations in his own for his materials and things. But he's a genius. You know, I could describe that system in detail and go on for hours about John Hutchison. This is much more important than what's going on in CERN, in my opinion. You know, we're talking about an $18 billion accelerator, whatever it costs, $10 billion. And John Hutchinson, he uses a little bit of money he has to do this. And he transforms metal. He levitates 70-pound cannonballs, levitates glasses of water, cups of water, Jell-O, everything. Take a piece of steel and turn it in, shred it without heat, and almost instantaneously.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of things. Transmutation of metals. Teleportation of a little piece of wood inside a block of aluminum. Tell me, who does this?
Truly amazing technology out here.
Oh, yeah. This universe is so amazing.
And yet, you know, it seems like the people that are in charge of, the physical sciences, Parks, I believe his name.
Oh, man. Oh,
my God.
He doesn't believe we should have a manned space program.
Oh, that's bad.
I knew him. I met him at the University of Maryland. That's where he was a professor. He's a professor emeritus there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in solid-state physics, but he's miserable. You know, this guy, he just stands in the way. He says no to everything. You know, everything's not wrapped up. I'll tell you right now, Bill, electrodynamics, we use, for instance, in electrodynamics, we use the transverse, most people use the transverse gauge for their calculations. But how are you going to get longitudinal effects from using a transverse gauge?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, they say Tesla is wrong about longitudinal waves, but they're using a transverse gauge, or they're using a Lorentz gauge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Lorentz gauge involves conservation of voltages. The voltages aren't conserved. It's a divergence equation that involves the electromagnetic potentials, the magnetic vector potential,
mm-hmm.
and the electrostatic voltage. But those are voltages, and voltages aren't conserved. Voltages in a circuit can float around all over the place. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You have an open circuit, a floating circuit. The voltage can go anywhere. Voltages aren't conserved.
Mm-hmm.
And then in electrodynamics, they confuse momentum and magnetic vector potential. They equate the two, and they're not the same. On and on and on. Even Richard Feynman, who was a brilliant physicist who developed quantum electrodynamics, he made a serious mistake that requires renormalization. That's where they got an infinity. Their equations blow up, and they get an infinite solution because they're dividing by zero. So what they do is they multiply by zero to get rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are serious problems in modern physics. But there's a lot, you know, to modern physics, too. I kind of disagree with you that classical mechanics explains everything, because there are some things that classical mechanics won't explain, and that especially interference. There are some quantum mechanical calculations that give you very precise interference effects to 10 to the minus 4 in error. So, but
mm-hmm.
anyhow, in principle, I agree with you. You and I agree on almost everything, to 100%.
Mm-hmm. Aurora.
Imagine if there's no Big Bang. Imagine in this global warming. You know, Al Gore was on the radio on New York Times the other day. He wrote an op-ed piece for the New York Times. Now listen to this. He said we're putting 90 million tons of CO2 or pollutants into the atmosphere every day.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that's 30 pounds per person per day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how in the world are you putting 30 pounds of pollution into the atmosphere every day? No, nobody is.
Well, Doctor, that. Aurora and I, we went to the film festival, the Sedona Film Festival, a couple of weeks ago, and there was an award-winning documentary that talked about this CO2 pollution.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's an international festival, you know, so, you know, now there's about 150 international festivals going on. And people are really getting the word out now on a variety of things. I'm very excited about it. And, you know, your theories, when you talk about them, you know, they're so exciting. You know, Bill and I'd like to invite you out here to the launching pad and be able to sit down with you and have a conversation in person and get it on video so that the whole world can get an education.
That's fine. That boy, you get a look at me. You may not want to have me on video, though.
Yeah, are you going to scare everybody really bad?
I've been working with radioactive materials so long, it really shows.
Well, Bill's into some kind of pills you can take to get the heavy metals out of your body.
Oh.
And then we have the detox foot bath.
Well, I'm working on this gold press.
The detox foot baths suck the heavy metals right out of your body through your feet, through the ions.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a video of that. I couldn't believe it.
Yes, we sell those on healthgalleria.com, and we'd love to, make sure you get one. And, when you use that, you're not going to believe it. It'll take out all those metals you've been sucking in. Yeah, it's great. When you're done, there's like a couple of ounces sometimes of metals laying there after a half hour.
Hey, Bill.
Yes.
Something else, this Dr. Roger Lear has been removing implants, right?
Uh-huh, yes.
And I checked this out very carefully. And listen, I'm telling you, I'm not a starry-eyed moon worshiper. I give it the thorough going over. And I talked to one of the implantees for 2 hours, and I talked with his wife, and then the other implantee was a scientist, a nanotube specialist, and I checked out his CV, and I looked at his publications, and I talked with him on the phone for 3 hours, three different times, and these implants are examined at the world's best laboratories,
mm-hmm.
Scanning electron microscope, electron dispersive X-ray spectroscopy, Riemann scattering, on and on and on, and they have, among other things, non-terrestrial isotope ratios.
Mm-hmm.
Very clearly, out to four digits of precision, one part in 10,000 accuracy. And there's no question at all in my mind that these are some sort of extraterrestrial implants. And these, and it's getting pretty serious when they start putting these things coming into people's scientists at the middle of the night, taking out of their homes, put an implant in them and return them to their homes.
Mm-hmm.
That's getting pretty serious.
Oh, listen to this. I've actually met people who have the implant put in their eye, like one of their eyes, like a camera. Yeah. Yeah, unbelievable. They're a camera implant. And
I'm not saying I'm skeptical, but before I sign on to any of these things, I have to check it out myself very carefully. And if I could get the information on it, I would check it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, Aurora and I went to the Laughlin conference last year, and Jaime Masson was there, and he brought some instrumentation with them to scan people looking for implants.
Yeah, I understand that's electromagnetic emissions spectroscopy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. I'd like to find out more about that machine. Let's have him on so we can talk about that.
Yeah.
I think you'll find that there's a scale of frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain frequencies that are associated with scalar emissions and having to do with the velocity of sound in the medium. And I think you'll find that probably 93 megahertz is one frequency, 15 megahertz is another one, maybe 6 megahertz. These are associated with elementary particle excitation.
Somebody, one of our clients, blew one out of her nose and sent it to us. And it was a fascinating looking thing. It looked like a comb with two sides on it, with the teeth on both sides. And what happened was, it just I sent it to a professional photographer friend of mine in Hollywood, and while he had it, it just disintegrated, fell apart.
Some of these implants come back together again. They break them up and they come back together again.
Huh, well, I don't know.
They have self-organizing properties.
Now, I was also sent another interesting thing. This gal was walking in the forest one day, and it was like low trees, kind of pasture field that she came upon. And as she was walking through this pasture, all of a sudden, this rock hit her on the head. and kind of bounced right there in front of her, kind of bounced off her. And she picks it up and takes it home, and it turns out to actually sweat. The rock sweats. It's very freaky. I know, and I still have it. And it also gives off a gas if you put it in a closed jar.
In a closed jar?
Yeah.
Huh. Fascinating. I wonder what that's all about. You know, I've heard of rocks coming out of these extraterrestrial spacecraft before. I don't know if that's one or not. Apparently, it's not exactly a rock. It's kind of solidified residues of fuel in the system. Something. I don't know what it is.
So what's your message for the technology fans out there today? What's the hope on the horizon as you see it?
Well, free energy is certainly one thing. New breakthroughs in medicine. We got to grind away at the mainstream scientists who are impeding progress. Some of them, for instance, Michio Kaku, I have an open letter on my website to him. About free energy, he said on Coast to Coast AM that investors call him up every day asking if they should invest in free energy, and he says, no, it's impossible. And in his book, Physics of the Impossible, as I understand it, he says that these free energy devices are impossible. But he changes his mind on many things. He says one thing is not possible, and then he says that something is possible. Well, you know, listen, these theorists aren't God. I mean, they make mistakes. I make mistakes all the time. I have to constantly check myself. And I'm not going to say something is impossible, almost anything. I mean, maybe it's impossible if the Earth is flat, but beyond that, I'm not going to go saying people don't have good ideas. And, you have to examine. If someone says they have a free energy device, you really need, a person needs to examine it. Mm-hmm. Especially if they have good credentials and a good reputation, you've got to go there and look at it and see if it works.
But a lot of these guys, you know, they look at it, they poo-poo it, and then walk away.
Yeah, they don't even look at, they don't spend 1 second. They don't look on the internet or anything. They just say it's impossible, and they're done. But listen, Bill, you can make all the positive energy you want as long as you make an equal amount of negative energy. It's that simple. Right? I mean, that's the law of energy conservation right there.
Well, you know, I had a guest on a few weeks ago. His name was Frank Nadarczyk,
yeah,
I believe his name.
About him.
And, you know, he came up with some interesting, going back, classical analysis of, this Fleischmann-Pons experiment. He was there in the original days of, those cold fusion experiments. And he came up with this analysis where they determined that you had to heat, this cold fusion, to get these. He was essentially calling it a scalar reaction going on. You have to have a certain temperature, with this phonon interaction going on.
You sent me the information, and I just now spent a couple hours going through that material. And there's some mistakes on the video. There's a factor of 5 error in a calculation, but still, it doesn't matter so much because I still get the basic idea. Now, here's what's going on, I believe. One of the things you need to do, if you want to fuse two things together with a binding, you've got to get them moving together at the same velocity. For instance, an electron... if you want to bind an electron with a phonon in copper, you've got to get the electron moving at the speed of sound.
Right.
So the phonon and the electron are side by side, and they have their electromagnetic fields, and the electromagnetic fields joining. It's like if you want to pass a baton from one car to another on a highway, you've got a velocity match. You have to have the cars going at the same speed. But now most physicists do not velocity match, they momentum match. And because momentum's conserved, they believe that you should what's called wavelength matching. But velocity matching is a condition under which you create very special resonant states. And so I believe that's what Frank Zdanarczyk is apparently onto something here, from what I can see. I don't agree with everything he says, maybe, but it looks like he's working on a, he's doing a poor man's unified field theory calculation, mm-hmm. things like that.
Well, doctor, we're just about out of time here. Do you have any last words here before we have you out again?
There's a tremendous amount to do in the universe. I mean, there are many, many exciting things. Looks like the junk science is in global warming, and maybe not be a big bang. Free energy is a potential reality if the right people do it and if you get the technology right. But the engineering requirements are very strict.
Mm-hmm. We want to thank you so much for being with us once again. It's always a treat. we always learn so much, all of us, even those of us with limited knowledge about this stuff. You know, we come away feeling like, hey, this is time well spent, and we look forward to a brighter tomorrow. Next coming up on Vortex Network
News.
Okay,
thank you, Bob.
Next coming up on Vortex Network News lineup is the Cosmic Connection with Michael Elejean. And I think we might be kicking around some theories with him, William and I. So stay tuned. Can you set this mic up, Bill? Can you set this mic up?
Oh, you want to plug in?
Yeah, plug in over here.